You know, I'm going to pause for a word of prayer myself before I get into the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, that name above all names, I just come into your presence right now. I ask you to pour yourself through me. Lord, I can say nothing that would help anybody, but a few words from your mouth can change lives, can heal people, can break down walls, can do whatever you desire it to do. And Father, we take the limitations off of you. And Father, we just expect you to move mightily in our midst, not by anything that we've done, but by your grace and your mercy and your love. I ask you to just minister to your people today, and we'll be most careful to give you the praise, the glory, the honor, because it all belongs to you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. You know, last week, Sister Etta shared her. Etta, I can't never remember where to call you, Etta or Ada. Which is it? Etta? Okay, Margaret says, remember Etta James. I said, well, I remember Etta James. Okay. So if I call you Ada once in a while instead of Etta, please forgive me. Praise the Lord. But I thought that her testimony last week was wonderful because, you know, as I listened to her testify up here, what I heard was, is that even in the midst of when she was in great tribulation, God was moving. He was moving mightily. You know, when she shared her testimony about being in prison and going to prison, and she'd got a pretty long sentence, and God shortened the sentence, way shorter than what it should have been. And she shared about going on a death visitation. And they let her go out of state, and they wouldn't even let some of the people there go in state on death when someone and their family had died. God has his hand on you, folks, even when you don't think he does. Even when you're not aware of it, he's moving mightily a lot of times. He will position things and cause things to happen that you never thought were capable of happening. And, you know, the title to my sermon today is He Knows You. And the question is, do you know him? But he knows you. And in Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10, he says, and then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And then listen to this. And then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. And you know, sometimes you might think that you can't do anything for the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what, when you feel like that, that's when he can do a lot through you. Because you're going to give him all the glory, you're going to give him all the honor, and you're going to look to him. And so many times, when you get to thinking that you can do something, watch out, because I had a brother one time years ago come to me, and this brother, you know, he had spoke different times down at the mission, and we used to go down to City Gospel Mission for years, and this brother came to me, and I had asked him to speak down there, and he came to me, and he said, man, he said, I got a great message for down at the mission. It's going to be really good. He said, it's great. I just know it's going to be really great. And you know what? When he said that to me, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, watch out, watch out. And we went down the mission, and that brother got up and spoke, and he mumbled and fumbled and fumbled around, and God totally cut his legs out from underneath him. And he told me, he says, after it was over with, he says, I'm never going to speak down this mission again. We were talking about humility back there. God knows how to humble you. And I'm telling you what, anytime that you do anything in the Lord, you better give him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, because it's not you, it's him. And I watched our sister get up here, and I know she was a little nervous last week, and I come over and I hugged her, and I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I prayed that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would be on her. And I'm going to tell you what, the anointing of the Holy Spirit was on her. And brother, she brought all of her thoughts together very good, and it was a wonderful testimony. And if you didn't hear it, you should go on either the internet or get a CD and listen to it, because it was a wonderful testimony. Because it just lets you know that God's in control. And even when you're in the midst of terrible situations sometimes, he's still in the midst of, he's in control of all that. And you might not see him in it, and you might not feel him in it when it's happening, but I tell you what, we know that all things work together for good of them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. And I got news for you. More people are called than they know they are. And they're called before they ever know they are. And, you know, I've told you all time, I've told you this story many times. Mother used to say to me, son, don't get too entangled in the world. God's going to require some things of you. And I used to hate when she said that. I absolutely hated it. A lot of times we'd be driving to work and she'd say that stuff to me. And I'd scringe over toward the door farther. I'd be driving. I'd be trying to hang out the window if I could before I'd given my life to the Lord. But you know what? She was right. She was absolutely right. And that wasn't really even her saying that. That was God saying that stuff to me, you know, through her. And, you know, I could never really picture myself being up here doing what I'm doing today. You know, I don't like to get up in front of crowds. I didn't like to go in restaurants or any of that stuff years ago because I had had that epilepsy, and it made me shy of going around large groups of people, you know. And you know, God did heal me of that. But it took a long time, a lot of years, for him to work that out of me. Well, now I can go in any restaurant and eat, and I can get around large groups and go in more restaurants than I should go into sometimes, you know. That tends to happen a little bit. But I'll tell you this. I love what he said there. And because he said that, because he said, then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I'm a child. And I'm going to tell you what. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And anytime, and I don't care how old you are, or how inexperienced you are, or how much you think you lack, or anything else, you're one of his little children. And when he bids you to do something, if you're obedient and you do it, he will flow through you and he'll get the glory, you know, and you get a chance to feel good about what the Lord does in you and all that. But I'm telling you what, just like that brother, he'd spoke down there quite a few times. I'd asked him to speak, but boy, I could tell he was getting puffed up. And he was told, oh, he says, it's going to be great. He's gave me a great word. He gave me a great word. And the minute he was saying that to me, the Lord was saying, you watch what I do. And I said, okay, Lord. And I just let it alone. And, buddy, it fell straight to the ground when he got up and tried to speak. And then he said, I'm never going to speak down here again. Well, that didn't last forever. You know, because after the Lord had humbled him a couple years later, he did come back to the mission. But he didn't speak for a couple years. But a couple years later, he did come back and speak. But I tell you what, you can't depend on yourself. You know, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you, thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And then said I, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. But be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now, I learned that a long time ago. When you get up to speak, and I thank God I did, I don't pay any attention to your reactions. Because you might be sitting there thinking about the refrigerator that just went out last night, and you're thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to have to put all that money out and buy a brand-new refrigerator, or your transmission in your car, or you got a kid that's driving you nuts, or whatever. And those expressions of whatever you're thinking about will come across. And when you stand up and look at people's faces, you think, whoa, what are they thinking? you know, is my word going across? If you let that stuff hit you. And I know one time years ago, the Lord gave me a word, and I knew he gave it to me. And I spoke on a Sunday night, and this is a lot of years ago. And I got up on that Sunday night. Brother Eddie wasn't there that night. I don't know if he was sick or what. I don't know what was going on. But I got up and I shared that word. And it might have been when he was in the hospital when he broke his ankle or something. But I got up and I shared that word. And I was looking out at the people's faces. And I was still, you know, fairly young in the Lord. But I was looking out at the people's faces and I thought, oh, man, they're not getting this. And when I got done, I basically said, you know what? I said, I thank you all for listening, and I hope this ministered to somebody. And, you know, I was kind of almost apologizing for the word. And the next week, some teenage girl came up to me, and she said, Brother Oscar, I just want you to know that word you shared was just for me. Touched my heart. God will go after the one and leave the 99 alone. Be obedient to whatever God tells you to do. Don't look at the situations or the circumstances. Just do what he tells you to do. Give him the glory. Look to him. And I tell you what, that taught me a lesson, because I don't worry about whether everybody comes up to me after the service and says, oh, gosh, Oscar, that was a great message today, or you did really good. It does encourage you when people do that some. And sometimes people tend to take you for granted when you do it, when you get up and speak. But, you know, I learned a lesson by that, because I learned that the 90 and 9 didn't really matter. It was the one. That was the one he wanted to hear that message. And I thank God that she heard it and I was obedient. And I should have never apologized for sharing God's word. And I don't apologize anymore. And I don't say, well, I hope you received it, or I hope you got it. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And he that doth'n, let it go. That's the way I look at it anymore. But I'll tell you what, this is what he said to him. He said, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee deliberately, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down. And then he said, there was a comma there, to build and to plant. And you know, when I was a kid, I used to go up in Batavia for a week or two in the summertime. And when I was real little, my Uncle Fred had a farm, and he had a pretty good sized field. At least when I was little, it seemed like a gigantic field to me, because I was pretty little. But he'd get out there, and he'd plow, and he'd disc, and he'd do all these things to prepare that ground to receive the seed, you know. And you know, it was a timely process. I mean, you know, you don't just go out and throw seeds in the ground. You got to plow it up. You got to disc it. You got to do all kinds of stuff to get the soil ready to receive the seed. And I got news for you. In your life, God has to plow. He has to disc. He has to run over you with the tractor wheels once in a while. And you think, oh, my God, what else is going to go wrong? But I'm going to tell you what, it's all to get you ready to receive the seed of the word of his word inside of you. And then, you know, I got a chance a couple of times, I only did it once or twice, where after he got those things where he had, you know, when you plow and you're planting corn, you kind of make hills, you know, you kind of have a little valley and you got a hill the way they do it. And I think he gave us a stick, me and my cousin. I couldn't have been more than 8 years old, something like that. And we'd walk down them rows, and we'd every so much of a distance, and I don't remember what the distance was, we were supposed to stick that stick in the ground and make a little hole and then drop a seed in there, maybe two, but usually it was supposed to be one, and then you're supposed to push the dirt over it, and you'd go on and you'd do that. And, you know, later on sometimes, I'd go up there, you know, later in the summer sometimes, they would have a family reunion up there, and I'd go up there, and I saw where we had dropped one little seed in the ground, I saw a big stalk of corn up there. And it had all kinds of ears of corn on it, you know. And you know, God was showing me principles when I was a kid that later on I would see it in the Word, and then I would understand what he was talking about. And in John 12:24, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And I got news for you. The little seed that God drops into you, which is the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, it's going to bring forth a mighty harvest. Because he's the one that brings the rain. He's the one that brings the sun. He's the one that causes it to increase. You don't cause it to increase. You might think you do sometimes. "Well, if God, if I just did this, I know you'd use me a whole lot more." No, he'll use you when he's ready to use you. He's the one who gives the increase. And I want you to realize that he's in control of all of that. And, you know, I remember Brother Eddie preaching a sermon years ago talking about that over in Egypt they had went into one of the tombs and they found some seeds that had been in there. And apparently these seeds were in like a container or something. Excuse me. And they'd been in there for, I don't know, hundreds of years, maybe 1,000 years, whatever it was. I mean, you know, that maybe a couple thousand years. They took those seeds out, some of them seeds out, and tried to plant them. And guess what happened? They grew. Because the essence of what God had put in that seed was still in that seed. All it needed to be was dropped into the soil and watered, and a little sunshine and a little few little other things going on. And all of a sudden, you had a mighty plant. And I got news for you. That's the way you are. You're that seed. He's dropped that seed in you. And he can have you dropping that seed in other people's lives when he tells you to do it. You know, praise God. Okay, my next scripture there, and you know, he talked about there being a harvest of 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And, you know, one seed can turn into hundreds of pieces of corn individually by the time, you know, you pull it off the ear. And I love corn. That's one of my favorite things. I mean, I really like corn, especially fresh off the stalk, you know, when it's just been plucked off there. Matter of fact, when we used to go camping, I hate to admit this, when we used to go camping when we were little kids, when I'd go up there sometimes and stay in Batavia, once in a while we'd raid the farmers out where we were camping, their cornfield. And we'd take a couple ears of corn and throw them in the fire, and then we'd eat them. But you know what? Even with that, God was showing me that, you know, hey, it's really a good thing, you know. And In Romans 8:29-30, it says, and I want you to know this, because he told Jeremiah, he said, "Before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you." And he said, "Before you were even formed in the belly, I knew you." And I want you to know, before any of you ever set foot in this church or set foot in any church or even thought about the Lord, he knew you, and he had a plan for you, and he had a purpose for you. And in Romans 8:29-30, it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Jesus was that corn of wheat that fell into the ground. He was that kernel. And the results are all of you sitting out here today, and anybody who hears this message as he touches their heart. That's the fruit of it all. Okay? And you know, it says, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he all justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." And who did all that? He did, not you. You don't do much, hardly, you know, except be obedient to whatever he tells you to do. We think that we got to make this stuff happen. I got news for you. You don't make it happen. He makes it happen. But what you have to do is be obedient to whatever he's telling you to do when he's telling you to do it and move in that way. And when you talk about predestination, a lot of people get real funny about predestination. But the words that were used for predestination were two words, and they were pro, and it's I guess you pronounce it horizon, and it means to limit in advance, and it means to predetermine, to determine beforehand, and it means to ordain, and it means to predestinate. And I want you to know, he knew you before you knew him. He called you. Scripture says no man can come unto, you might think you chose him. He chose you. It said no man can come unto the Father except, unto me except the Father draw him. The drawing of the Holy Spirit was what brought you to the realization of what he had done for you. And I got news for you. He's about ready to start drawing all of creation out there, because in Romans 8 chapter it says all creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, because they're going to be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. They're groaning and travailing out there, folks. And it goes on and it says, you know, when we built this church, you know, we bought this land. We paid for the land before we built this church. We went and sat down with an architect. We kind of told him what we thought we wanted to do. Architect sat down and he started drawing up some drawings. And he drew up some drawings and we changed them two or three times, I think, before we finally got it to what we thought we wanted to accomplish. And before we ever built anything on this land, we went and had it appraised with the land and the drawings. There was nothing built on this land at all, nothing. No ground was broke, no nothing. They took those drawings, and at that time they estimated the value of this church at $1,200,000. There was nothing here but just the land. But I got news for you. God's plans for you, they're going to come to pass. And it's a wonderful plan, whatever it is. You just be obedient and do what he tells you to do. And I tell you what, it got built. It's here, you know. And it's just like the plans, you know. Actually, as we went along, we added things in there, and the guy kept making more stuff. This platform wasn't originally going to be in there. That front office wasn't originally going to be in there. Those double doors weren't originally going to be in there. That sound room wasn't originally going to be in there. But he kept adding things in there, the builder, as we went along. And he added a lot of things, you know. And, you know, it got built. And, you know, my thing always was, is that, Lord, if this thing's of you, you know, We want to get it paid off. We want to get rid of the debt. We don't want to have the debt. And, you know, I told you all a joke one time about, you know, about that pastor came to the people and said, you know, that we've got the money to pay off the mortgage. And he said, I got news, good news for you and bad news for you. We got the money to pay off the mortgage. And they said, the good news is we got the money. The bad news is it's in your pocket. And you know what? When you start getting in people's pocket, they don't like it most of the time. But that is the truth. But I'm going to tell you what. God sovereignly moved to where even, you know, we paid off quite a bit on this church, but he sovereignly moved because the people next door kept trying to buy some land from us. They tried to buy this whole place from us numerous times. And I'm going to tell you, God moved miraculously in that they kept coming and kept coming. Every couple of years, they'd come back and try to buy it. And we didn't want to sell them anything, you know. And the last time the guy came, he says, isn't there something you could do? They were getting desperate. And I said, well, I said, no. I said, every time I ask the elders, they say, no, they don't want to sell it. And I said, you know, the only way I might, that they might consider selling it is if we could pay off our church, you know. And, you know, and really we threw out a number for 4 acres back there that are not very good acres, because where the land that they bought from us starts at the beginning of their church and goes up to that hill. And it's not very much. It's not very usable land. But they were ecstatic to get anything. And they paid us probably three, maybe almost four times what that land was worth to get that. And in so doing, it allowed us to pay off this building. So now we're sitting here and we're debt free. We don't know anything. And in 11 years' time, we paid off the amount of money we had invested in this land was in the building and everything was $800,000. Now, you know, I could show you the offerings, and there ain't been enough offerings to pay off no $800,000. But I tell you what, God does miraculous things. He does great things. But I just want you to know that whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And them he also glorified. And, you know, in Ephesians 1:3-11, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And I'm going to tell you what, he blessed us tremendously in paying this thing off. Because they made some offers originally on this that was $100,000 or so to buy. Well, they offered us $400,000 to buy the whole place. We had over $800,000 involved in it, you know. And I told them, I said, no, I said, you're not even close. And then I had some people say to me, well, maybe we should negotiate with them, because anything we could get to help pay it down. And I felt like the Lord said, no, I don't want you doing no negotiating. I want you to set a price, and if they're willing to pay that, fine. If they're not, that's fine too. And you know what? They were ecstatic to pay us three times or four times more than what that land was worth back there. Now, I'm telling you what, God does some miraculous things. And he did in us paying this place off in 11 years. I mean, you know, $800,000 is a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And, I mean, that's way more money than I know how to deal with. But I'm going to tell you what, God knows how to deal with it. And he did. But I want you to know that he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Whatever you need to fulfill what his will is for you, it's there. It'll be there. It might not look like it's there, but it'll be there. You know, God is not limited in what he can do. And it says, he blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And, you know, when it says he has chosen us in him, that word in him means, that word in means, it denotes a fixed position in place, time, or state. A relationship of rest. Now, I'm going to tell you what. I know Jim told some of the brothers that he knows that we were going to build this church, you know. And they were kind of, I think, a little bit negative in what they said, you know. But I'm going to tell you what. It was God's purpose that we build this church. Now, I don't know what all will happen with this church. You know, one of these days I'll step down and go off into the sunset. The other brothers, I believe, will just go right on, you know, because that's what God's got is a body here. And we're small. But that just goes to show you that even with a small group, he can do mighty things. He's not limited as to what he can do. If we'll rest in him, there remains a rest unto the children of God. And in Acts 17, 28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being. As a certain of your poets have said, for we are his offspring." And you know what? You're his children. And you know what? It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's his good pleasure. You know, every father wants to see their children grow up and achieve at least as much as they did, if not more. But I'm going to tell you what. He wants you to grow to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ so that creation can be set free. Because they're groaning and travailing out there, waiting to see that happen, like it says in Romans, the 8th chapter. And I want you to know, it's going to happen, folks. Whether it happens, he's already paid the price. It's already been taken care of. Now what it mounts out to is us coming to the realization of who and what we are in Christ. And it goes on, and it says here, "Having predestined us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will." You know, it was his good pleasure to bless you. It was his good pleasure to get a hold of your life. You know, when my children were born, you know, I went to the hospital and I went in there and saw them cute little babies with the dark black hair and all that. And boy, that was tremendous. That was good pleasure to see that. And everything that involved in having the little babies was good pleasure. You know? And I just want you to know that that's the way the Lord is concerning you. He's birthed you into a relationship where you're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. And he's going to do mighty things for you in the times to come if you'll just be obedient and do what he tells you today. Do. It says, "To the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through the blood of his blood and forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. And you know what that mystery is? Rich was talking about when you have the two little dots, the semicolons, what that means. That means read the next line. He was talking about that in Sunday school back there. Here's the mystery of his will right here. "That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. In whom we have," there's a semicolon again, "in whom we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." You know, when I was a real young Christian, I read that scripture one time, and that verse 11 just jumped out at me as I read it, and I began to realize that he works all things after the counsel of his own will. And you know what I began to believe? In the sovereignty of God when I read that. And, you know, it took me quite a while of teaching on that over the years for people to begin to see it, some of the people here. And you know, all things after the counsel of his own will. How many are all things? All things. He's the Lord. And the word Lord means sovereign controller. He's in control. I mean, it might look like there's an absolute mess out there in the world today. He's in control. And we don't know how it's all going to work out. We don't know what he's going to do. But we do know that when the sons of God come forth in the fullness, they're going to set creation free. And this thing is a lot more simpler than we make it out to be, you know. And he's not worried about taking you off in the clouds or anything like that. He's his kingdom, when he prayed and he taught them how to pray, he said, what did he tell them? Teach them how to pray? Take us off to heaven in the cloud? No, he said, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when we come to the realization that we quit trying to get an exit ticket to get out of here, and everybody that wants that exit ticket, get them sick in the hospital and have the doctor come in and say, well, I don't know if you're going to make it. And you watch them jump up and say, well, praise the Lord, I'm ready to go. No, they'll say, well, isn't there anything else we can do, doc? Isn't there something else we can do? You got some miracle drug? You got something else you can make me better with? You know. I just want you to know his kingdom has to come here on this earth. And it's going to come here on this earth. But it's going to come through the sons of God. You know, they asked Jesus one time, they said, what's the signs of the times that are coming that we'll know your kingdom's coming? He told them all the things that was going on, and those things are going on in the earth, and they've been going on in the earth for a long time. There'll be wars and rumors of wars, and there'll be this and there'll be that, and that stuff's been going on for a long, long time. But he says, but the kingdom doesn't come with observation. The kingdom of God is within you. And as long as we're looking out there for the kingdom, we're going to miss it. Because they were looking out there for the Messiah to come sometime, and he was standing right in their midst, and they missed it. And I got news for you. He came to let them know it was Christ in you, the hope of glory. He came to let them know you not that you're the temple of God. He came to let them know that he was going to reveal his glory in them, not to them, in them. And like it says in Romans 8th chapter. And Romans 8, 31 through 39 says, what shall we say then of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that separated not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also give us freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted for sheep as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. There's nothing can separate you from the love of God. Praise God. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. But I wanted you to realize he knows you. And I'm not necessarily just speaking to you, but I'm speaking to the internet out there when I say there's a lot of people out there that don't know him. And he knows them. And they're going to come to know him. And partially they're going to come to know him through you, through what you do. You know, you're an ambassador of Christ. You've been called to tell people what he has already done, what he has already accomplished. He can't be crucified again. He was crucified once. He can't be risen again. He was risen once. You know, when he was on the cross, he said, it's finished. And you know what? It was finished, and it is finished. But we have to come into the reality of it. And when we go out there and deal with people, we have to begin to tell them what he has done. That he's they're forgiven. They're already been forgiven. He forgave them on Calvary when he poured his blood out. And he didn't pour it out for just the Christian folks. He did it for the whole world. The whole world. I heard a testimony the other day where this guy was a Muslim. And he went with one of his friends to a Jewish church. And, you know, he kind of listened. And he kind of got to the point where he wasn't really adverse against the Jews anymore. You know, because of some of the things, and he got to know some of the people and everything. And then somehow he came in contact. He heard a message, I think, about Jesus. And somebody gave him a New Testament. And the Muslims, they believe that the Bible, you know, the New Testament and the Old Testament, they believe that it's a holy book. They just believe it has a lot of error in it. And he started reading the New Testament. And he started reading about Jesus. And it wasn't too long until he had an encounter with Jesus. And now today he's a Christian. And I tell you what, we need to love people, to treat them good, to treat them with, you know, when we deal with the people next door, they've been some of the nicest people to us. You know, they gave us an easement to come across their property to tie into the sewage. You know, we put in a grind pump in this church that cost us $22,000 because we couldn't get into the sewage out here, and we were going to have to put in a septic system when we built this church. It was going to cost $20,000+. But the county had already told us that the minute that they ran sewage up the rest of the way up the street, we were going to have to tap into it. So when we were building this church, we were going to have to pay $20,000+ to have a septic system put in. And then whenever they came up the rest of the street with a sewer, we were going to still have to turn around and tap into that. But the architect went next door and talked to them, and they said, well, sure, you can go across our land. And they gave us an easement. They didn't charge us anything. We went across their land and tapped into the sewer because it was on the other side of their property, and we tapped into the sewer. Well, it cost us the $122,000 deal, you know, and that's all it cost us. But, you know, so many times God moves, you know, and he moves wonderfully if we'll just trust him. And I just want you all to know, and if I could say anything to you today, and I've been trying to tell you all a lot, and I know a lot of you already know this, but there's a lot of people out there that we're talking to today that aren't in this building right now that don't know it. I want you to know who and what you are in Christ and who and what he is in you. Scripture says, in him we live and move and have our being. Creation out there needs to learn that in him they live and move and have their being. And when they come to that realization, then they won't be so quick to think that everything that happens to them is because of their own abilities or what they did or didn't do. And they can begin to give the glory to God where it really belongs. But I just want you to know, God's going to do some wonderful things in upcoming years or whatever. And I don't know if I'll be around to see the full manifestation of the sons of God. In Romans the 8th chapter, it says creation's groaning and travailing for that, waiting for that manifestation, that taking the lid off, you know. And you know what? He's trying to take the lid off in you and me, where we realize that he's in us and that his glory is there. It's already there, you know. His mercy's there. The mercy seat's inside of you. If you're the temple of God, guess what? The mercy seat's inside of you. If you're the temple of God, guess what? The Holy of Holies is inside of you. The Shekinah glory's inside of you. You know, the big mystery that he chose to hide from creation for a long time is that he dwells in his people. They wanted to make little clay idols and little golden idols and silver idols and all that stuff. You know, and boy, they were missing it. He dwells inside of you. You were created in his image and his likeness. And he wants you to have dominion. But all of the power and all the dominion will come from you acknowledging him and moving and flowing with the Holy Spirit as it directs your paths. If y'all will stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. God bless y'all. I know this has been a little more teaching today and hasn't been too jovial. But you know what? We need to hear these things. And creation out there needs to hear them. They need to know that God knows them. They might not know him yet, but that's part of what we are called to do. We're called to tell them about him. We're called to give them the good news. And you know, that good news is that he ain't mad at them. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. We need to quit imputting their trespasses. We need to start beginning to tell him what he's already done. And if the more we do that, the more we're going to find that he'll use us to help set creation free. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you, Lord, to let this word go forth and just minister to hearts. And I encourage your people to just move forth in greater ways of even just sharing their testimony, sharing the love of God, being a friend to people. You know, he's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Let us be a friend, Father. Let us not be pointing fingers of accusation at people and downing people, but let us be praying for them and trying to embrace them with the love of God. That's the only thing that's ever going to change this world. That's the only thing that's ever going to change the attitudes in people. And Father, help us to be those attitudes that you say in the Beatitudes. Because if we become those attitudes, then creation is going to be set free. I just thank you for what you've done. I thank you for what you're doing. And I ask you a special blessing upon our people and a special anointing in their lives as they go forth, that even the yokes in other people's lives will begin to be broken. I give you the praise, I give you the glory, and I give you the honor. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you all.